Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, who needs them? What makes a truly good, good guy is a really well-written villain. Come join us on the next Region Nerd Alert as we delve into some of the psyches of our favorite villains. Come nerd out in our secret villain lair on Region Nerd Alert every Saturday at 7 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. And welcome, guys.
Hello there. What's up?
That might be the new intro for a while.
Oh, dude. Now you got to like pan left and right.
Oh, I wish I had a little slider like that. But I'm Jose Rodriguez, your host for this show. This show being Region Nerd Alert, coming to you live. Pre-recorded, Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. And yeah, I have some other co-hosts as well. But before I get to them, if you missed this episode, even though this is the beginning, or you're like, man, these sound like some cool individuals, but I want to listen later. We're on Spotify and also Apple Podcasts and also...
What's the app?
The NPR One app.
The NPR One app. That's right. Also, I learned something about the NPR One app the other day.
What'd you learn?
But I will get to that after introductions. To my left, we have the lovely
Have Mike, a.k.a. Thick Boy, 3 C's, 3 I's, Instagram, Twitter. Follow my photography at Singularity Photography.
Wham. And if someone had a photography inquiry, where could they get?
Hit me up on Instagram.
IG, there we go. And to his left, we have the
Skyler.
I do music stuff for the show, and you can find me on Twitter at @officiallyOVA, and then you can get the link to my Bandcamp from there.
There we go. And you make music, you say?
I make music.
Nice. Why don't you tell us about some of that music?
Ah!
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, he does the intro, outro, and other things, too. I miss the Halloween episodes are coming up soon. And that'd be really cool for you to make a new...
new creepy banger?
Yeah, maybe a cool sample. Because, man, I love that sample you put in that Halloween one. I forgot what it was exactly, but...
It was probably the Love Me Deadly one.
Mm-hmm. It was Love Me Deadly. That was a great one. But anyways, speaking of Halloween and stuff, maybe this fits a Halloween one. Who knows? Maybe one of the weeks for Halloween, I'll make a best of spooky tales.
Spooktacular.
Yeah, like a Halloween spooktacular. Last week I think I did a best of, and I really enjoyed doing that. So,
nice.
Expect more best ofs when we can't record a week.
Top 10 funniest takeaways.
Yes.
YouTube compilations.
But, yes, like we said, you are listening to Region Nerd Alert. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. And, follow us on Facebook. We got a Facebook, and message me, because, you know, we get lonely here. And, you know, if you want a sticker, we'll send you a sticker. If you want, if you have any suggestions about a topic, if you want to be on the show and you're cool enough, heck yeah.
Cool Kids Only Club.
Yeah, this is the Cool Kids Only Club. But anyways, speaking of Halloween and speaking of evil things... Today's episode is about villains.
Ooh.
Yes.
And also in quotations or side bracket anti-heroes, if it gets to that. But, yeah, I wanted to talk about some villains.
Nice.
And I'm very surprised we haven't. That seems like a topic we would have done in, like, the beginning.
Yeah, I much prefer villains over heroes. Same. I find them more interesting.
Oh, definitely, definitely. But, yeah, we're just going to explain why some of these villains are our favorite. Doesn't necessarily have to be super bad guys. Maybe they're bad guys that turn good, or bad guys who aren't really bad, but the story paints them as bad.
Yeah.
For starters, Ninja 3. Remember the ninja?
Oh, my
spirit?
God.
Oh. Took over the girl. But but before that, the ninja like came out and like killed a bunch of cops and stuff.
Took on a whole precinct.
Yeah, it was... Like, you were, like, the whole time, they were, you were like, okay, this is supposed to be our good guy? Oh, wait.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, like, who am I rooting for? Because I don't want to root for this guy.
Right, he's over there killing a bunch of cops, then gets killed by the cops, and then his spirit is like, I want revenge for my death from these cops.
That he started
that
the altercation.
That he started. And he comes back to finish the job.
None of this is spoilers, by the way, with this movie. Like, this all happens in the first, like, 5 minutes of the movie.
It's a canon film. The story doesn't matter.
Exactly. And now, mind you, I have not seen Ninja 1 or 2. Maybe it explains this vendetta has against the cops. But it starts him out. He doesn't even go for the cops. He starts at like a golf.
He assassinates a golfer.
Like just some random golfers. And then it turns out one of them's like a scientist. But they don't really go into like
why he went after him.
Is he like an evil scientist? Like I'm sure if we knew why. Like, maybe he's, like, a scientist who experiments on ninjas or something, and he wanted to free him. Or
he's, like, creating the next hydrogen bomb, and it's like, all right, let's stop that.
Literally, I don't know why I'm supposed to hate this scientist. Unless he was the same actor from, like, Ninja 2, and he was trying to take over the world, and that's why. But
the movie made no sense.
And even if he was justified in killing the scientist, I have no qualms with the police like defending all these people, and they lit them up. It was sort of like the Jason movie, remember? We were talking about
that. Where the SWAT just, yeah.
They have a trap
has
for
the
them,
drop on them.
Then the spirit goes into like other places, but yeah.
Like the movie starts off with the villain, like showing the villain doing villain things.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, you're like, okay, like but he paints it as a hero.
Yeah,
and then
heroic.
You find out through like halfway through the movie, like, no, this is the bad guy in the beginning. And we're like, wait a minute. Why did you just paint him like a good guy then?
Right. Because the movie goes, it's like the spirit of the ninja goes into the girl, and the girl's like the main character.
Yeah. This poor girl getting possessed by this evil dude.
Right. And she gets possessed, but then, like, she meets with the cop, and at first, the cop's kind of like creepy, and then she almost gets like beaten up, and the cop does nothing, and then he goes to like arrest her, but then ends up being a love interest. Like,
yeah, she's like dating the cop. Why doesn't the dude just like take over the body when they're both home together? And I think they do at one point, and like mm-hmm. she tries to draw the sword on him, and he's like, "What are you doing?"
And then they paint the guy who saves the day that rival ninja, because ninja can only be killed by a ninja.
Yeah,
you're right. They do introduce a whole other ninja.
That's what I was saying. Like halfway through the movie, you find out the ninja at the beginning is the bad guy.
Right, and then this second ninja, who by the way, eye patch looks like the villain.
Oh, the way that second ninja is introduced, like any other movie, that is the bad guy.
Right.
This guy has long black hair. He's got a crew with him. He's got an eye patch that's leather and all decked out. Like, this is the bad guy.
I kind of want to applaud this movie for breaking stereotypes, because he looks like a bad guy, but he ends up being the cool good guy.
Yeah.
So, Ninja 3, you're after talking about you a little bit, your score just went up.
Like 2 points.
Good job for
2.7 out of 10.
2.7 out of 10. But anyways, yeah. So that's the first.
Thank you for listening to our Ninja 3 podcast.
This has been a Canon production.
100 episodes of Ninja 3 breakdown.
The Canon cast.
But anyways.
Oh, man.
Man, I can really talk about that movie all day now. Like the
that just reminded me.
Remember she was walking up the, the electric pole in the beginning, and she's fixing the electrical stuff?
Oh, yeah. She was like a straight up super cool electrician chick.
Right.
Like.
So good job at the sexism part. Like, at the time, like, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, they were
but
actually doing some stuff.
Yeah.
It's a very progressive movie, Ninja 3.
Ninja 3, best movie ever made?
Is that the title?
Our best villains and anti-heroes. Ninja 3, best movie ever made? Man, I'd click on it.
But
anyways, yeah, does that spark any villains that come to mind relevant? Or
in relation
not?
To Canon films,
yes.
Because they're both made by Canon.
Perfect.
One of my favorite villains, who we can then tie into one of yours, mm-hmm. is Skeletor in the live-action He-Man, played by Frank Langella.
I love Skeletor so much.
Dude, his interpretation of Skeletor is like flooring to me, like one of my favorite things. And like the prosthetics are all kind of cheesy, and you can see like his human skin around his eyes, like in certain stuff, and it's like kind of crappy, but
I love
he
that,
plays
though.
It so well.
I love how that often I go around the house just cackling like Skeletor all the time.
Can you do a cackle away from the mic a little bit?
We have to defeat He-Man.
Oh my god, that was
perfect.
That was a good one.
By the way, I have to mention Lakeshore just got a new sets of headphones.
Oh, great.
We are swimming in audio.
We are swimming in money and audio.
Oh, man.
Not money, just kidding. But
I'm thinking about the revamped Skeletor from the newer He-Man where he has eyeballs. Oh, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Was that the cartoon version?
Yes.
Like, doesn't he have, like, skin, too? Like, purple skin?
He's got skin. Because
I've seen like a meme of that, and it's like, so Skeletor had purple skin and eyeballs.
Like, he's got like this helmet that looks like hair, but it's weird. It's so weird.
The live action one kind of has like a skin look too, because like looking at it, it's like, that's not how a human skull is kind of shaped.
And he's buff.
Yeah, like I
thought he was all bones. How is he so buff?
He's so thick.
Like, how is he so buff? He's just bones.
Yeah, dude. Like I used to have like the old, like I'm talking like OG He-Man toys, and they were all made the same. Like it was the same like character like die, but with a different head, and the Skeletor was super ripped. So it was like this super ripped blue dude with a skeleton head.
That is the peak of what milk will do to your bones.
Exactly.
Pure calcification.
But speaking of like that canon-y type stuff, that sort of reminds me of Mortal Kombat, the what's his name? Lao Kahn or whatever?
The one from the second one?
The second one, yeah.
I think it's Shao Kahn.
He's the most normal-looking bad guy. Like, I feel like with a little bit of training, I could take him. Like, he doesn't look threatening at all. Like, even with the mask on.
I'll say this. He's one of the worst actors I've ever seen in film.
Very bad.
Oh, dude. I've seen him in a few films, and he's the same character
time. His Shao Kahn is, like, crying laughing. I listened to a podcast about that movie, and the opening line of the podcast was one of the hosts imitating Shao Kahn. The earth was created in 7 days.
I forgot.
So too shall it be destroyed.
He does do that. Yeah. Dude, he's like a cross between like discount guy from Mummy, like the Mummy from the Mummy, and like discount John Cena. Like put them together, and that is the show.
He's also like a crap ripoff Skeletor too. Almost
he loses his mask within the first like 10 minutes of the movie, and it's just his face. Like Shao Kahn's face is like
just a bald man.
He just looks like a normal bald guy.
Just some dude.
Like Steve Austin could have played a better Shao Kahn.
Oh,
just Shao Kahn stunning people.
Stunner. He's broken in half. Liu Kang is broken in half.
And then Shao Kahn just cracks open two beers.
Hear the glass shatter. Oh, no.
It's the Mortal Kombat rattlesnake.
Oh, man. 316. But,
Lord.
Anyways. You said that Skeletor tied in with...
Because it's Frank Langella, who also plays Count... Lord Frodo.
Oh,
really?
Count Frollo. Oh, yeah.
I lost my voice.
I love Frollo as a villain because he's like, he's one of these holier than thou people. Like, if you've never seen The Hunchback of Notre Dame, watch it. It's my favorite Disney movie. And he's like, his whole conflict is he feels lust for the first time for Esmeralda, and he doesn't know how to
express it
or he doesn't know. He's so conflicted after feeling lust for the first time with his religion. Like he has a whole song dedicated to like, this fire's inside me. He's tearing me apart. And like, you see the ghosts.
Be mine or you will burn.
Exactly. Like the man burns down an entire city, like for his like feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nuts because you've never, like, I don't think I've seen a person more challenged in their morals when it comes to a villain.
It's crazy too because A, that's Disney, and children's.
Yeah, that's...
And it's so dark.
Right.
But also there's so much, like, religious overtones.
They just shoo in Quasimodo. It's like, all right, kids, look at the freak. Look at Quasimodo. All right, there's adultery and weird stuff going
like,
on.
With Disney, like, redoing all their Renaissance movies, I want them to remake Hunchback. I won't watch it, but I want them to remake it. Just
I won't watch it.
I won't watch it because I refuse to watch the remakes. But I want them to remake it just so they can prove that they're just going to redo all the Renaissance movies, because I don't think they can get away with Hunchback and Notre Dame in today's like atmosphere. Because it is centered around somebody. Like, Hunchback is an offensive slur now. Right. Like, with people with that condition. Not only that, it's actively challenging the church. And it's such a dark movie.
Like, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the religious stuff. Like, yeah. That, like, Count Frollo, like, he's a fictional character, but at the same time, like, there are plenty of people who act and who are faced with, like, so much, like, religious constraint in their lives that they just outward it and get mad at the things because it's, like, un-Christian.
Like, it's not a stretch to imagine somebody in Frollo's position to act like Frollo does.
Right, like, not to name drop, evangelicals, like, they are, in today's society, terrible people.
Yeah, I got feelings.
And if you're listening and you are offended, please contact me and follow me on Facebook.
Yeah. Let's hash this out. I have feelings on them.
But yeah, very realistic bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's a really good bad guy.
Yeah, his whole arc is like he feels something he's never felt before, and he doesn't know how to handle it.
I would definitely agree with you and say that he's probably my favorite, like, story written and driven type of villain in Disney. Also, Esmeralda's Bay.
Oh, absolutely.
But my favorite villain of the Disney Kingdom is the Horned King from Black Cauldron.
Mm. I have.
That dude literally gave me nightmares with his design.
I've seen that once, and I forgot the bad guy in the story plot.
He's not a very, like, super talked about character. Like, he gets a few minutes of dialogue and time in the film, but, like, his design and, like, he's so dark and just demented looking, like, really drives home, like, this is evil, pure evil. At its raw form.
That's why I love Maleficent, like Sleeping Beauty. Like, I'm not talking about like the remake with Angelina Jolie, but the original, like, Maleficent. Like, there was some really dark, twisted animation in
there. You don't want to invite me to this party? Say goodbye to your daughter.
Right. But also the design of her is like, it's so dignified and beautiful. Like, there's beauty behind it, but also it's...
it's like gothic majesty.
Like, that, like, the Frollo reminded me of, like, Maleficent a little bit, because he got the greens and the blues and even, like, purples. And she, even in her dragon, it's reflected, like, in
the
fire.
Green flames,
like,
yeah.
Oh, like, the design for that, like, that was, like, one of the, in my opinion, like, one of the best designs for, like, an evil presence. Like, it's so cool.
I was going to say, the next villain I want to talk about has, like, that same, like, evil elegance to them. Yawgmoth from Magic. All right. Yawgmoth is pure evil in a political form. So when you look at when you look at like Magic, you see like monster, like different monsters, homunculus, hydras. Yawgmoth is a human being, and in his card he's depicted as just a dude with long black hair. He's got like this cool like black armor on with this like rib cage looking thing on it. Mm-hmm. But he is just unabashedly evil. He's a proprietor of eugenics on his planet basically. Eugenics is basically the study of purifying DNA. That's what like Nazis were into.
Right, like nationalists, like, white nationalists.
Yeah, like basically making the perfect species by eliminating weaker genetics in it. Mm. He was real big into studying diseases and things like that. And when he got exiled from his city that he was in, he would go around the plane and just infect creatures with different diseases just to see what happened. Mm. Like, he would just unleash this horrible virus on these
on these creatures and just to see what happened.
I was gonna say, like, this is like a vampire vibe. It sounds like
he's just a regular guy. That's the thing. Like he eventually became the god of the planet Phyrexia, mm-hmm. and the planet of Phyrexia is just a horrible, just hellscape. Like it's bad. It's a terrible place to go. Hmm. And he eventually did have followers that left with him when he got exiled. When he went to New Phyrexia, he just experimented on all those people, turned them into monsters.
Hmm. That's great, because isn't Phyrexian mana like life force?
Yes, yeah, in the game, Phyrexian mana is you either pay with the mana color or you pay to life.
Hmm.
It's power at any cost.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he's like unabashedly evil.
Hmm. That's weird, because going back to Maleficent as well, like there's... Like vampires have like that elegance.
Yeah.
Like when you think of a vampire,
aristocratic look.
Right. Like a very aristocratic. I wonder why that is. Like why they've been depicted like for years as like that higher up.
There's what is it? I can't remember. Oh my God. Vampire the Masquerade.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pen and paper game. It's also a game, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. There's different forms of vampires. So you have I can't remember like the top end, but there are like the regal vampires at the very top,
mm-hmm.
and then there are the Nosferatus, which are the like sewer crawling, like have to eat rats and can't be with normal people looking vampires. So I do like that there is a varied thing of vampire.
I like even Nosferatu as well. Like he, even though like he was terrifying and the story was terrifying,
yeah.
Like didn't he like he had a castle and like in a coffin and stuff?
Yeah, Nosferatu was like if you only saw him from behind, then he looked like just a bald, normal, skinny person. But if you looked at his face, what he had distorted features,
mm-hmm.
long bony fingers,
right?
Like. But he did have it did have an elegance to him.
Hmm. It's almost like human evolution, like for vampires, like if they evolved from like the bat, just another like a human that's not from apes, but from like another species.
Nosferatu is almost like a humanoid version of like an anglerfish, where it's like, oh, my silhouette resembles a human. Don't fear me. And then he gets close and he's like, I'm not a human.
Gotcha. Psych. little knowledge of an anglerfish.
Hit me.
So, by the way, anglerfish, the IRL most terrifying villain.
Hideous.
And actually, those are all the females, which in species, usually the females are more
bigger
and more beautiful, boastful, whatever. But the males, their life consists of basically being, quote, a penis with a heart.
What?
So the way that they mate down there is the males will literally graft on to the female, and the female's like body and the male's body will morph. So the female will literally get a lifetime supply of the male
fertilization
sperm, and the male's still alive, but all of his organs and intestines meld.
Dedicated to that.
They meld together. So he's living off of the female, just pumping sperm into her eggs and stuff.
What is wrong with the bottom of our ocean?
I don't know.
Dude, the ocean is the scariest place next to the space.
I don't know if it's terrifying or like every male dream, but anyway.
I'm looking for my anglerfish.
Yes.
My God.
I don't know why they're called cougars, but call them anglerfish. But anyways, I like this gothic way we're going. Just to touch on it some more, what do you guys think of Sweeney Todd and the villains depicted in that, but also Sweeney himself?
I was going to say Sweeney Todd is a villain himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I mean, Judge Turpin's not any better.
All right.
But it doesn't make Sweeney's actions justified at all.
They're on even ground for me. Like, they're both on even ground. Like, they both do, like, unquestionably bad things.
The thing that I would say makes them on uneven ground is, like, Turpin made Sweeney Todd.
Yep.
And then Sweeney Todd just caught up to Turpin's level of conniving.
Did we just have a comparison of Sweeney Todd and Darth Vader?
Kind of, because the Emperor made Darth Vader, and then Vader doesn't.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, no, you're right on that. I take that back. I can't.
Because like
now that I think back to the movie, yeah, Judge Turpin is way worse.
A child. But that's the thing too. Is like the environment is also cruddy, like in London.
Yeah,
there's no place like London.
Right, and that's like the originally my
East London, no doubt.
Oh my goodness. But anyway,
Cogney.
But the environment. That's sort of like. My original thought for this podcast, I wanted to tie like psychology into it and like the Stanford prison experiments and other things to justify villains, but that took a lot of time and work and effort, and I need to do other stuff. But anyways, Stanford prison experiments, that's a good example of it, because mm-hmm. yes, it was very unethical, but at the same time, there were a lot of things that were brought up, like can random people be put into a position of like power or anything, and basically do evil things towards other innocent people. And
does power drive people to do bad things? Is right. like the question.
Right. Like if you put someone in the right environment, like does that turn them evil, even if they have no predispositions, or have that always been there, and just putting them there releases it within. The nature versus nurture thing, I guess.
I've never had power, but I'm a firm believer in power drunk.
Yeah.
I do think that people can go insane with
like even,
power.
Like, to go off that a little bit, Sweeney Todd sort of had that power struggle because, yeah, he was created by, what was his name, Frollo or whatever?
No, Turpin.
Yep. He was sort of created by it, but once he had that power, like, of the knives, like, he... It was also infatuated, and he starts just slipping.
And also, he had Turpin dead to rights, and then it got botched, and he was like, I'm just going to start killing everybody.
Exactly. And it's that power that he was given.
Right. He had him in his hands, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to take every throat that comes in this place.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of created by the environment, you know, like London being a skeezy place anyways, East London. But it turns a good man with a wife and child, I think, to... Oh, yeah, of course.
Joanna. Yeah.
Yes. I'm sure every main character in... plot setting is sung like that.
Yeah. No, I do like how it, like, at like when it came time for Turpin, mm-hmm. like Sweeney Todd was playing with him like a cat, like a cat that had a mouse. Like he was just right. playing with him.
They sang together,
right? Yeah.
Ah, oh, that was so beautiful.
And he made sure that he knew who he was.
That power struggle or
Benjamin.
That's such like ah. Like, the playing with your food thing, like, is that, like, internally evil? Or even though you're justified, like, is that still an evil trait to have?
Like, when it comes to, like passion stuff, where, like, oh, crimes of passion or whatever, like, they're always like, oh, this person was stabbed twice and died.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know each other. The dude just stabbed him 3 times and left. Didn't care if he was dead or alive, whatever. 3 stabs, gone. Mm. But like crimes of passion where it's like, oh, this person was stabbed 50 times? Yeah, they probably knew each other really well. Like, oh, it's probably their brother or something.
Right. Like when it's done up away, like, is that initially evil? Like, you always hear in like movies, like, revenge is not the way to go. And like, come on, like, I'm completely justified in killing this person or killing these people. But the overlying theme of like the wiser elder person always says,
it's not the path.
It's not the path.
Yeah. I feel like if it wasn't for, oh God, the pie lady, whatever her name is.
Yep.
I feel like if it wasn't for her.
Mrs. Lovett.
Benedict, yeah. Mrs. Lovett. I feel if it wasn't for Lovett and him losing Turpin for the first time. He would have just done the deed been over it.
Mrs. Lovett was fishing him down a line.
Oh yeah, she was
enabler.
She was egging him on. I feel like what we saw at the end of the movie was like him officially, like he crossed the line from like, this is for revenge to I'm just enjoying this now.
What have I done?
but speaking of her, which I believe she was also kind of a villain because by association, if you're chopping these people up and putting them in the pies and
she was the secret villain,
right? Like well, that's another thing
the
too.
Sidekick.
Like I feel like everyone in London was like scummy villain in a way, except the I think there are two innocent characters who were I think were the main like the good guys in all of London.
Oh, Joanna and the love interest,
right?
No,
I feel like
the kid too.
Kid.
Yeah, the kid.
Oh yeah, the kid as well. Yeah. Even though he was also the three innocent people of like London and everyone else around, and they weren't even like the main characters. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like that's a good example, like the anti-hero, like Sweeney Todd, because
it basically like every character was corrupt, and then there was three uncorrupt people. Like
right.
These people have yet to be destroyed by London.
And is the main bad guy, is he truly evil, or was he created as well from such a corrupt environment? Like
Beetle Bedford created Turpin
with his side cracking.
Oh, freaking Peter Pettigrew. I hate Peter Pettigrew. Like, he is just a scummy person.
Yeah.
Jumping to Harry Potter now. Because I feel like Voldemort is an easy villain. He's a very simple bad guy.
If I could tie in, because we were talking about, like, revenge type of villainy and those type of stories. Another one of my favorite villains is Roy Batty from Blade Runner. He's a replicant, which is basically like a created synthetic human that mm-hmm. has only a certain amount of years to live, a very limited lifespan, and he's basically driven to insanity because he knows that his life is only X amount of years long. And that his time is running out, so he's trying to get more time. But he's also trying to get the answers to, like, why? Like, why only a few years? Like,
I have him on here as well under bad guys with redeeming story arcs. Because I felt like he was sort of redeemed.
He's got a reason to be mad.
Right.
And also, he could have killed Harrison Ford's character at any time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And he didn't. Yeah. Yeah. Another one that is probably like my favorite on the list of the ones that I have so far is the main character of Nemo Me Impune La Cacite. It basically like roughly translates to like nobody can hurt me with impunity. It's a story by Michael Shea
mm-hmm.
and just basically revolves around this character who has this big revenge plot. His wife at one time left him or cheated on him or did something to him, broke his heart or whatever. So he devises this plan because she's an adult film star. Mm. So he devises this plan to invite her and a film crew over to his super awesome pad with all of these like cool gothic sculptures and this like super awesome basement that leads to crypts that are from 1000 AD. And
that sounds hot.
He lures everyone in for his nefarious plan.
Mm.
But it is he is a great character.
That sort of goes on the religious side of it, like Frollo, mm-hmm. like based on his own morals and his own judgment, he seeks revenge for, unless like she used her career in porn, like evil.
I can't remember exactly what like the slight was, but there's like a plot twist in his character as well where there's kind of like some revealing things that like made me like him even more. I was like, dang, this guy's
super cool,
but he's not doing anything good, but the setting and like everything is really great, but he's the main character and he's up to no good.
I was gonna say thinking of bad guys with not necessarily redeeming story arcs, but sort of that justified, like, purpose. Like, a good bad guy with, like, man, I kind of agree a lot with what he's saying mm-hmm. and things. Well, there's two, and they're both from the Marvel Universe, and you can probably think who they are. But the first one I'll bring up is Killmonger from Black Panther.
Yeah.
Like, he... Throughout the film, he had a very justified, like, outlook of basically his people, like black people in the world, has been in poverty, have suffered such injustices, and Wakanda is this place where it's the epitome of like scientific technology and advancement, and how they don't help every black person in the world because they have the resources. So his goal is to like basically open Wakanda up and basically make the old kings and queens of Africans. And well, I think they do they say Africa in Marvel, or is it just strictly Wakanda?
It's Wakanda, but I'm pretty sure it's Africa.
I've seen like
Africa
one Marvel movie. So.
But yeah, so throughout the film, like he is basically just, well, not exactly justified, but it's one of those where
he's got valid points.
Valid points that you got to talk about, yeah. Because like I think at the end, spoiler alert, before he is ultimately murked, he offers... Let me help you. Like, we can take you back. And he's like, no, like, just throw me over the edge. Like the white man did my people with the slave ships. Like, instead of going to the, America to be a slave, he's dying a free man. And he wants to basically metaphorically jump over the ship. And, honestly, like, I don't think he killed too many innocent people. Like, I think killing anybody is evil regardless, like, in terms of innocence, you know, if you're killing an innocent person.
Murder is a sin.
Right.
he's got quite a body count on him, though. He's got, when he actually, like, does, like, take his, like, shirt off and everything to fight T'Challa,
mm-hmm.
He's got marks all over his body, and all of those are somebody that he's killed.
Right, but what was he?
He was in Special Forces.
Right, and that sort of goes, sort of like the Frollo thing, in a sense of like the religion, and not religion as in specifically Buddhism or Christianity, but like the religions we create that justify the things we do and create morality, such as Frollo and Christianity, and Killmonger with Special Forces, Army, Marines. Like, America is definitely far from innocent in any of the altercations it's had in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, Hiroshima, for one.
Yeah.
But does anything justify that body count? Because, like, in today's society, Killmonger, even though he wore it with pride, it's sort of like is a reminder of the people he killed.
Yeah.
And it's, in a sense, honorable because you're not forgetting that person.
It'll be with him forever, whether he changes as a person or not.
And they're painful, too. They're like... It's almost like scarification, isn't it? So it's like he takes a life, but he respects it and puts it on him in a way to...
As a reminder.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. once again, bad guy, but it's parallels because, you know, are we any better? You know, exactly. I personally haven't killed anybody, but I don't know. Just reflection on life.
I personally don't involve the police in a murder either.
Toast of London, everybody.
Toast of London. Matt Berry, watch it.
If I seen a murder, the police would be the last one I call.
I had one more I wanted to get out.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Dark Souls 3, Yorm the Giant.
Mm.
All right. This is the saddest villain ever. Because Yorm the Giant was, in the story, he was the king of... he was the king of the capital city,
mm-hmm.
but the people that he was elected there by people that, but didn't respect him because nobody respects giants in the Dark Souls universe. So he had to do everything he could to get these people to respect him. And he even like gave him a sword and said, if for any reason you guys need to take me out, this is how you do it. Hmm. So like, he was trying to earn these people's respect at all times. So somewhere in the story he lost somebody that he actually like really cared about and gave up on everything, like just threw away his giant shield and just went crazy. And then eventually he had to collect himself, and he told his friend Sigward. The names always mix me up.
Squidward.
He told him, like, okay, listen, I have to do a duty.
And,
yeah.
Sorry.
I have to do this. I have to do this thing. And if I ever don't do it, I need you to take me out. And he gave him the other sword. And he went to link the flames, which is basically in Dark Souls speak, he went to reset the universe. Mm-hmm. Well, when he reset the universe, fire consumed his entire city and destroyed everybody that he was working to protect.
Hmm.
And it basically was proving his detractors right when he did that, because everybody was like, he can't protect us. And he was doing all this stuff like, I got you guys. And then he finally did hit the thing he was supposed to do and ended up wiping everybody out and proving those people right.
Wow.
So what happens is when he came back to life and said, I'm not doing this. I already did it once. I'm not doing it again. So when you actually go to fight Yorm the Giant, you have Sigmire with you, and you hear him say, I've come to hold up my end of the bargain. I've come to keep a promise, basically. Dang. And it's such a sad thing, because Yorm did not want to be the villain. He tried everything he could to be the good guy,
mm-hmm.
but ended up failing and becoming the villain.
Wow, man, yeah, I really need to play those fall. Games.
Yeah, it breaks my heart to hear his story.
Mm. Yeah, the ones that are like fated are like so sad, because even they you try to diverge from it, but it ends up being like the same thing.
And then like there's one last one, the Demon King. This is real quick. The Demon King is the last demon in Dark Souls 3, and as you're fighting him, like, it's an ancient being. Like, it's giving you everything it's got. And then right when you're about to defeat it,
mm-hmm.
it lets out this huge explosion of energy. And that's it. After that, once that happens, it doesn't move ever again. And you could just freely kill it. But it basically used all of its energy, like everything it had left in it, to take you out. And once you take that out, you're basically making a species go extinct. That is the last demon.
Wow.
Yep.
That kind of reminds me of Parasite. Have you watched?
I have not.
The anime Parasite? Well, there's the bad guy who's like this ultimate parasite.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, the premise is basically this alien species comes to Earth and they try to go into humans and integrate in society and basically try to survive. They're from outer space and they kill other humans and they eat them as like substance, basically.
Yeah.
And they're basically portrayed as the main bad guys, like these parasites everywhere. But one of the parasites goes, and they go to the brain to take over the human.
Mm.
One of them doesn't get to the brain and goes into our protagonist, which is, I forgot his name, but it goes into his hand. And as it learns about human society and language, and they're hyper intelligent, they're better than us in every way, strength, speed, mm-hmm. smarts, every way. And basically, it starts to develop feelings, not necessarily for the human race, but like all living things on Earth. And the bad guys, which are the parasites, they bring up very, very good points about how we mistreat the Earth so much with all these pollutants and everything. And one of the, I won't say which bad guy this fate befalls upon, but one of them is like, extremely strong, and he like manifests Earth and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, like, he's living, and then he creates more life from him,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of like a Gaia thing.
Yeah,
and the way he gets murked is he falls in like this trash pit, and like these rusty nails, and like this, it just gets infected.
Yeah,
and he like the guy doesn't kill him, like. Literally, our pollution and landfill killed him because he can't sustain himself, because he's literally like a metaphor for God. And like the end, he was like they had a chance to like end him in the landfill, and the parasite on the guy's hand, he's like, this is just an extinction. Like I don't want to be the God to make the call on whether this species just stops, even though he's the same species. He was like four humans. But he's like, this is my species, and I feel like we can't do it. So they left it to nature. Like, you don't necessarily know if he survived, he died, blah, blah, blah. But it's very deep.
Yeah,
so
super deep. So what you're saying is humanity is the worst villain of all?
basically. Yeah. Oh, that, real quick, I mean, Futurama is like a last thing, the Twilight Zone. Like, you know, the cheesy yeah. Twilight Zone story. He's like, yeah. I have concocted the most evil species in the world. And then he presses the button, and then it comes out. A man comes out. Turns out it's man. Dun, dun, dun. but anyways. Yeah, does that anyone else have any bad guys to pamp out?
Quickie, Sephiroth. Sephiroth is a staple bad guy in video gamedom.
Oh, right.
I wish I knew more about him, but I don't want to play Final Fantasy to learn about him. I'll have to go down a rabbit hole.
Fantasy VII is so good. Please play it.
It's very good. But what's real quick, what's the plot synopsis of that? Like his character growth.
He's, I think he's like a, man, it's been a minute since I played Final Fantasy VII. He's the son of Genova, I think, and Genova is basically like this god creature that fell to Earth or whatever from the,
life stream?
The eco stream or whatever, and they're basically like testing Genova, and I don't know if he's actually like a descendant of Genova or if he's just a part of Genova. Like they tried cloning Genova and Sephiroth became, and from Sephiroth, Cloud also was born as well. Like they're kind of yin and yang of each other. Right. Like they're both descendants of this god character.
Well, wasn't it Cloud wasn't, he was like a descendant of a descendant of a descendant, wasn't he? Because like wasn't Zack originally from Sephiroth? And then Cloud was from Zack. Right? I could be thinking that.
I think Cloud and Zack are like the same person?
No, that's. I think Cloud was like a pseudo clone. Like, not like a direct clone, but like. You know what?
Because Zack was supposed to be Cloud, but Zack failed, I think, and then Cloud came about.
Was it?
I'm butchering this story.
Me too.
What you just said makes it sound like Sephiroth is his own brother.
He is his own, brother. Jesus, he is his own brother, dude. You guys,
dude, my mind just got blown. Blown hard. Oh, by the way, watch IT Crowd.
Yeah. Oh, the man.
From it. Matt Berry, love you.
My last one is Dolores Umbridge.
Oh,
she's haggard.
She is the worst person.
Before you get to that, he's his own brother. I can't believe that. But before you get to that, let's see if this ties in. Let's name the worst, most evil bad guy you can think of, and go Dolores Umbridge.
That's mine.
I was just gonna say that's why I brought that up, because I feel like she is evil, and that's not like no religious, like nothing religious about it, like Frollo and like Killmonger.
Voldemort's at least playing for the bad side. Umbridge is like trying to be like a good guy,
right?
She's she's a villain with a smile.
Like which is worse? And plus, like she doesn't even have to do that. Like
she's in a position of power.
The ministry isn't even like that. Isn't even evil. Like she is like a product of her own evil, demented corpse party.
Like it's like she is just evil to be evil. Like.
That's what I'm trying to think. Like, there's no justifying her brain of evil.
There's none.
Like, did you have anything else like
to
say?
No, just Dolores Umbridge, just the worst person in media.
If the diddling part is true, Freddy Krueger is haggard.
I think it's very true, isn't it?
Well, I think they confirmed it in the remake.
I thought it was like always confirmed from the first one.
He was never a child predator until the remake.
Really?
That's when they full forced it on and they're like, oh yeah, Fred Krueger, diddler.
Really?
He was a child murderer.
Oh.
He was never.
That was still pretty evil.
He wasn't a diddler.
In itself, you know. Like,
either way you cut it, Fred Krueger's haggard.
Oh, Fred, yeah. Even off like just the murder part, he is definitely like child murder.
And then to be so evil that you get killed and then it's another Ninja 3 deal, he comes back and he's like, I need my own revenge.
Is it a Ninja 3?
Yes.
It's full circle.
He comes back to get his own revenge.
They don't
dude.
Paint him as like the good guy, right?
No.
Okay.
First one, he's like an actual like scary evil character, and then two and on, he becomes this comedic.
He's just
crapple.
Right. I love it. But what does that comedian say about what was it? Like, what's next? We're going to start marrying, like, pigs and animals? And he's like, so? I eat them. I'm pretty sure that's the worst thing you can do to it. I don't care if you diddle it. He's like, you got me there. But anyway, so would you say Fred Krueger then is like...
I can't really think of, like...
Killing children is pretty bad.
Anyone else. But it's not only the fact that, like, he was a bad person in real life, but then people kill him to do it justice and, like, all right, we need these kids to stop dying and all this other stuff, so we're going to kill you, Fred Krueger, because the cops aren't doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then for him to be so evil and be like, you know what? I'm going to come back and kill your kids now. Like, that's...
I'm going to kill all your kids.
In their dreams. Like, that's... raw evil.
That is really, and it's not like created or taught, which I think is like sort of like, isn't the Omen sort of like that? He's just an evil kid.
The Omen is the Antichrist.
Like, we,
yeah, like that is like pinnacle. I feel like if you're a kid, like nothing taught in your environment, it's just you're born this Antichrist.
Yeah, that kid was literally born as the right. Antichrist.
Like, yeah, that, programmed to be evil.
That is definitely top tier evil.
But like, they never even explain, like, why Freddy's able to come back and do all this stuff. And, well, there might be one possibility, but if this is true, then anything is possible in the Fred Krueger universe.
Oh, no.
Because they're basically like, it's the Book of the Dead. If we think about him and remember him, we'll dream about him, and then he'll kill us.
You gotta put him in exile.
It's like... You could bring anybody back in your dreams to be a Fred Krueger then at that point if all you got to do is think about him. Like, oh, we just got to stop talking about Fred Krueger and these kids will stop dying.
What is that called? Like a debug or something like that? Like, you think of it and... Remember Supernatural, that show?
Yeah, I can't remember what that's called.
You think of it and then it just... Oh, it's not real.
If enough people believe it, then it's real.
What was it? Everyone staring at the closed casket of Schrodinger's funeral.
Everyone sweats.
Yeah. Is he dead? Should we open it? But anyways, you know who's a real bad guy?
Who?
Goku. This Explain. Dude gave Cell a Senzu beam when he was freaking killing people. For a fair fight.
Goku is brain dead when it comes to, like, morality. Like, you don't have morals if you just gave Hitler a Senzu bean.
For a fair fight. Take him in the ring.
I don't feel right taking you down, even though you're about to destroy the planet.
But the thing with Goku, he gave him a Senzu bean for his son to fight him. Because he just got done fighting him and whooping him up, but then he lost.
Oh, haggard father.
And he's like, go on, beat him. You know what? You're going to be him so bad here. 100% life.
Dude, that is a real villain thing to do. Like,
I don't want you taking a cop out, Gohan. So.
Worst father of the year.
That is such a villain move. My God.
There's many times that Goku makes the wrong choice for fair fights.
Exactly. But with that, I think this will come to an end.
All right.
Thank you guys for joining me today.
No problem.
It was a very fun discussion talking about these villains. If you missed any of this, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Region Nerd Alert is the game. Nerd Region Alert is the game. Did I say game twice?
You did.
Dang.
There's a few games.
This is a game. But anyways, I'm Jose Rodriguez, to my left.
I am Mike. Thick boy, 3 C's, 3 I's.
And to his left,
I'm Skyler.
And he is Skyler. And thank you for listening, and hopefully you listen next time, because it's every Saturday at 7. Remember, DM me on Facebook and stuff. But with that, thanks for nerding out, and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Also, Ganondorf's really